George. Hello, everyone. My name's Greg, and I'm an addict. I don't know what I'm going to say here tonight. I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope on living the program the way I was taught to do it. Now, whenever Edgar had asked me to come up here and do this a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of reluctant, you know, because you know this is my first retreat. Now, I've been to a couple conventions, but I never did anything more than spectate. I gotta say that I love this program. This Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, gave me a life. But whenever he had asked me, like I said, a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking, okay, now what am I gonna share about? How am I gonna do this? And I kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and of course I kept living my days, and nights. I'd go to work, I'd get up like I always do. I pray to God of my understanding for guidance for the day. Try to the best of my ability to follow that guidance. And I don't know, I kind of do a daily inventory, every night before I go to bed, sometimes midday, to see where my life is going, see where I'm headed. I got to say that my toolbox that this program has given me stays open 24/7. I'm afraid to close it. For one, the God of my understanding is in here. If I close my toolbox, I'm closing off my connection with the God that I understand, the God that guides me through my daily lives. Whenever I first came around to this fellowship, I was totally lost. I was totally befuddled. I didn't know what to do. I really wasn't living. My disease was having a grand old time. It was going on and on and on. It was dragging me around to one negative consequence to another. I didn't have a life. I was basically just feeding my disease, and I was tired. I was beat down. I can remember some 5 years before I had stopped using, I said, man, my life's got to change. I'm so tired of doing this. Getting high wasn't any fun for me anymore. There was no enjoyment, nothing, no satisfaction out of it. It was just what I did. That's the only thing I knew how to do. I would create jackpots in order to justify my using. The vicious cycle I was caught up in, and I could feel my life slipping away. People around me seeing how bad I was, I didn't see it because I was caught up in trying to control this. I got this. I'm okay. I'll be fine. I don't know. One negative consequence after another led me to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I came in through the courts. I had to sign that slip of paper, as Mick was talking about earlier. But I came in beat down. I can remember my last day using like it was yesterday. I was sitting there. I was on night shift. I had to come home in the morning. I sat down on my couch. I said, I can't keep doing this, because I had the notion that I had to had a 40 a bud every morning before I went to sleep, so I could get to sleep. Because I justified, I can't get to sleep in the morning, after being up all night. So I sat there and oddly enough, I had I was scheduled for IOP, you know, intensive outpatient treatment that afternoon. So I had to get some sleep, and it was like Russian roulette with me, you know, because I knew that 40 was either going to knock me out or is going to have me off to the races, and I wouldn't get no sleep, and I wouldn't, you know, I would just be out there, hung out to dry. That happened to me. I didn't know what was going to happen. But apparently I got to sleep. I woke up. I went to my first IOP. And then as I left IOP, there was a meeting right across the hall. I went to the meeting. That was my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting that I guess I surrendered. I surrendered that day, that morning. And I went in, and there was a bunch of people rushing me, talking about welcome and trying to hug me. The craziest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Some of them are here today, you know. and I was confused. I was tired. I really didn't want to be bothered. I just wanted to go and find my seat in the back of the room and, you know, let this be over with. But they came and hugged me, and I heard some key phrases in that first meeting that I remember. Keep coming back. You don't have to live like this anymore. One day at a time. And these are the same tools that I use on a daily today, you know. You know, my recovery is a one day at a time thing. I don't try to project, because whenever I project, I get into trouble because, yeah, you know, I want everything to go according to the way I feel it should go. It never does, thankfully, because if it had, then I would be probably dead right now, because, you know, I figured, okay, after I do this recovery thing for a little while, maybe I can go back to using successfully. I want to be a social, you know, social drinker, social user. But I found that that's not possible for me because I had this disease of addiction. I'm not sure, you know, I'm no brainiac. I don't know how I got this disease, why I got it. I know I have it. I feel like, you know, after looking back in my life, I feel it was my disease was awakened in me very, very early on in my life, before any drugs or any chemicals or, you know, were involved, early in childhood. And I think I was trying to hide. I was running from that for a long time. And my disease was very patient. I was very introverted as a child. Talking to my family members, I had learned that I didn't talk as a baby until I was like 5 or 6 years old. I mean, they felt like, okay, he can talk, but he just doesn't talk. I don't remember that. I don't recall that, but I do remember that I didn't feel really a part of. So I didn't know how to live at an early age. I didn't know how to communicate with anyone. So my schooling suffered. You know, in school, I mean, I was in that era of school where they just pushed me on to the next grade just to get rid of me. And I went on like that, and I went on like that. I'd never really connected with the kids in school. I don't know. I was in my own little world. I was making up my own reality, as it were. I was making up life as I thought it should be. I don't know. I was way off the path. The God of my understanding had planned for me, I believe. I got to talk about church, because I can remember going to church as a young boy. And, I mean, I went to a Baptist church, and so we had a preacher that would bounce around and do acrobats all back and forth for us to, and, you know, I mean, Everybody else, all the other kids, they would be sitting here laughing and have a good old time over this. But I was trying to, I was actually trying to keep a bead on him so I could try to figure out what he was talking about, what he was saying. You know, because I really needed to hear some kind of inspiration. It seemed like, and in the family dynamic, I was the youngest of six kids. My father and mother were kind of estranged at I guess I was maybe 10 or 11 when they separated. There was a lot of violence in the house. And I didn't dare take this kind of a message or, you know, talk about this at school, you know, to my friends. I really didn't know how to talk about it. The family, we didn't really talk about it. I guess it was like we braced for war whenever my father would come home in a mood or it was really weird. I don't remember how I really got out of all that mess the way I did, but I remember that I was feeling very, very lost. And I really don't like going back and talking about that and trying to reconnect with those feelings, because it makes me feel uneasy even to this day, because man, there's a lot of turmoil and a lot of like I said, I was a lost little kid. Sometimes I feel like that lost little kid. Now I, you know, the neighborhood kids, I was trying to connect on every level. It wasn't until I guess I was 13 whenever I had my first drug, which was I believe it was Boone's Farm wine, and I can remember this vividly because I thought I had arrived. You know, I was finally accepted as one of the guys. We got some Boone's Farm wine, and I can remember going down to my buddy's basement and we drank this wine, and I wound up on the basement floor in a pile of dirty clothes, face down. I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. And I can remember buzzers and bells going off my head, like, you know, like, this is wrong, like Danger Will Robinson. One of those moments, you know, and I could feel it. This wasn't right. This isn't how this is supposed to go. The guys are over there laughing at me, but hey, I was being accepted, you know. And I set about trying to, you know, write a better ending to this this little scenario, this little story. So that's where my using career started, and I think that's all I'm going to share on my using career, because I'm not into the war stories. You know, we've all used. I use poorly. I always thought I was good at it. I thought I was the best drug addict, you know, out there. Because I knew how to do everything just so precisely. If I knew how to do everything right, then I wouldn't be here today. So I want to get to the topic at hand, living the program. Like I said before, my toolbox is always open. I'm always looking to fill it with knowledge of the spiritual principles embodied in this program. I need living tools desperately, because my life isn't over, you know, as of today. I hope to have a long way to go. I live this program one day at a time. I try to learn from my mistakes today. I try to help my fellow addicts. You know, I try to be of service. I've taken on some commitments in Narcotics Anonymous, simply because, you know, what was so freely given to me, I have to give back because I don't want to lose it. I've seen how this disease can affect people's lives. I've seen how recovery can has affected mine. I never thought that I would be in this position to be sharing it at an event like this. I'm so humbled by this. I think that I'm finding a better understanding of myself. This program is amazing. I've been shedding the mask that I used to wear around to try to fool. I thought they would try to fool the general public, you know. In reality, I've learned that I was only fooling myself with the mask that I used. I was trying to convince myself that I was this person. I was trying to convince myself I was that person. Today I'm trying to live. I'm trying to live well. I'm trying to grow. Well, I am growing. I'm not trying anymore. I'm growing as a person. I'm maturing. Yeah, in this fellowship. Whenever I first got clean, I was running around the rooms. I felt like I was a teenager. I felt like I was a teenager. That's the mentality I had. And I'm not a teenager, you know. I used to have the feelings of a little bit of self-pity because I had wasted so much of my life. But in reality, I'm living my life today. Yeah, what I did in the past, I can't change. I can only do what I can do today, just for today. This program means the world to me. It's given me a newfound. I was speaking about freedom earlier today at a meeting. The freedom that I feel by just simply doing the simple things that this program suggests. I keep going to meetings. I keep sharing. I listen so much better than I used to. You know, like whenever the main speaker was speaking today, I got so caught up in his story because it made me. I mean, I kind of felt what he was feeling, and I'll tell you, to be honest, there's a lot of things that I didn't connect with, but that's okay. Because, you know, down the road, you know, his message may be right on point in my life. I don't know. I know that I have a support group. I have direction. God of my understanding gives me that on a daily. That's another thing about me. And recovery. I pray for guidance, and that's all I pray for. I don't pray for anything but guidance. I'll just say it like that, because anything else would be self-seeking. And I learned what self-seeking gets me. It gets me all jammed up. It gets me. I don't know. I don't like to. I don't like to. God, I'm losing my train of thought here, but that's okay. I do that sometimes. Now, I'm not all better today, but I'm getting better. I'm living this program like my life depends on it. Some days I make mistakes. But I stick with the basics. I don't pick up. I continue to go to meetings. I continue to help the newcomers, any old timers if need. I don't know. I live this program like my life depends on it. And that's all I have today. Thanks for letting me share.